This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, salatu wassalam, salam, assalamu alaikum, warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. This is Riyad Razazi welcoming you to another episode of Walking with the Prophet. Episode number 34 or 35, I forgot. Those of you on Facebook, those of Instagram, of course, Yashmin, she's always the first one to log in. Assalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. How are you, sister? Ahlan, ahlan wa sahlan. I'm just going to give a minute or two for more people to join. Yashmin, is this session number 35 or 34? Or 36? I forgot. I think it's 35. I just want to give a minute or two for more people to join, inshallah. 36. Okay, I thought so. Ahlan wa marhaban. I've got Instagram right here. I've got Facebook right there. And this is episode number 36 of the series Walking with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Last week we talked about the Battle of Badr, if you remember, right? Where's everyone on Instagram? What happened? 6 o'clock, isn't it? 6 p.m. Eastern time, so people are taking their time in logging in for some reason. I just want to give another couple minutes, you know, if please be patient. Can't keep my teacher waiting. Jazakallah khair. Thank you, Yashmin. You're always there. You're always number one logging in. Those of you on Facebook, can you type something? Can you read me? Can you hear me? Those of you on Facebook, can you please type something so I can just read you because I... Those of you on Facebook, type something, please. Is it 6 o'clock today? It's 6 p.m., right? 6 p.m., yes, I can read something. All right, good. Tayyip, let's start. Bismillah. Whoever is late, they can always go back and watch the session. Bismillah, alhamdulillah, salatu wassalam, rasulullah. Again, welcome back, sisters and brothers, to the Walking with the Prophet series, upon the footsteps with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And today we are with episode number 36. Last week we talked about the Battle of Badr, as the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam migrated from Mecca to Medina, and the first thing he did alaihi wasallam was establishing the masjid. After he established the masjid, he united the Muslims, you know, when he called for that brotherhood between the Muhajirin and Ansar. And then he set the constitution, if you remember, alayhi salatu wassalam, setting up the laws or the bylaws of the town. And then he heard about that, you know, caravan that was moving from Mecca to Asham, led by Abu Sufyan. And that caravan was holding mostly the possessions of the Sahaba, because if you remember, the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, when they moved, they left everything behind. They were kicked out from Mecca, so they left everything behind. And then the Prophet Muhammad السلام, came to know through his eyes, if you remember, he set up his intelligence team. So the intelligence team informed him of that caravan. And the Prophet السلام, told the Sahaba that there was this caravan, and then they moved. They all came out with the Prophet Muhammad السلام, but they were not ready for war, right? They were not ready to go and fight. They were only going after, you know, the caravan. But then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala changed the whole plan. The whole Battle of Badr was orchestrated by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's the one who, you know, planned the whole thing, alayhi subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then we talked about how the Quraysh were out, you know, they outnumbered the Muslims. The Muslims were about 313 or 314, and Quraysh, they were over 1,000, right? 1,000 of them, with so many horses, and they had horses and camels. Were the Muslims, they had only 2 horses, if you remember. But again, in Islam, it's never about the quantity, right or right, right? In Islam, it's never about the quantity, it's about the quality. Those 313 or those 314, they defeated those 1,000 with the will and permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then, yes, the Muslims, they won that battle. Quraysh, they could not swallow, they could not accept the fact that the Muslims, you know, won that battle, although they were outnumbered. So that's what led to the Battle of Uhud. How old was the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, brothers and sisters, in the Battle of Badr? I mentioned this last week. How old was the, those of you who are taking notes, now it's test time, right? Test time. How old was the Prophet when this was the first battle called Badr? And today we're going to talk about, yes, Yashmeen, mashallah alayki, it's the 55 years old. 55 years old, that's how old he was, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So a year later came the Battle of Uhud, because Uhud, it happened because of what happened in Badr the year before. Because Quraysh, they could not, again, accept that fact that they lost the battle, so they had to, you know, go back and retreat and reform, and then they came back to attack the Muslims. So the Prophet Muhammad, when he heard that Quraysh, you know, formed an army of 1,000, they had more than 1,000, they had 3,000, in fact. In Badr, they were 1,000, but in Uhud, they were 3,000. And the Prophet Muhammad, alayhi wasallam, with the Sahaba, they were 1,000. They were 1,000. So this time when the Prophet Muhammad, he heard about the Quraysh coming out to attack Medina, he consulted with the Sahaba. What should we do? But before he did that, he saw a dream. He saw a dream. In that dream, he saw, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that there were a lot of cows being slaughtered. He saw that there was a crookedness in the tip of his sword. The sword he had, it was a crookedness in it. And then he saw also that there was a shield protecting him. So he consulted with the Sahaba. He interpreted the dream. He says the cows been slaughtered. The way he interpreted that, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that there would be something that would happen to his friends, to his Sahaba, to his companions. Something may happen to them, like some sort of maybe, you know, abuse or killing or whatnot. So that's how he interpreted the fact that he saw cows being slaughtered. The second thing he saw was the crookedness in the top, the tip of his sword. The way he interpreted that is that somebody from his member of his family, something bad would happen to them. Something bad would happen to somebody from a member of his family. Who? At this time we don't know yet. But you and I, we know. You and I, we know what happened. What, you know, who are we talking about? We're talking about Hamza. Right or right? Are you guys with me? Are you with me, right? Facebook. Say something. Instagram. I know you are always with me. I know you are right here. Come on. Where is everyone? Are you guys there? Are you guys there? Yes. All right. So, thank you. Thank you, Mila. And thank you, Yashmeen. So I was saying, Facebook, why aren't you talking? Type something. So, where was I? I forgot. Where was I? Yashmeen, where was I? What was the last thing I said? The dream. Remember? Wallahi nseet. The dream. So the first thing he saw, that, you know, cows been slaughtered. The second thing he saw was the crookedness in his sword, and that was something bad would happen to a member of his family, Hamza, exactly. And then the third thing he saw was a shield, like a fortress, and that shield or that fortress is Medina, that the Sahaba would retreat to Medina eventually. But then he went. Brothers, this is, I want you to listen up very, very carefully, because there's a lesson we will, you know, derive from here. The Prophet consulted with the Sahaba. He said, what should we do? He said, I feel that we should not go and fight them. I'm not receiving comments from you on Facebook. I don't know why. Facebook is driving me crazy, sisters and brothers. I'm going to do something to that guy on Facebook. You know who I'm talking about. So anyways, I was saying that, you know, this is really something we can derive, a beautiful lesson we can derive here. That the Prophet, he consulted with the Sahaba. He said, what should we? He says, I think we should not go. I think we should not, you know, fight. But what do you think? So a lot of them, especially some of the youngsters, they had that zeal and they said, Ya Rasulullah, we should go, we should fight them, we should go. So the Prophet Muhammad, you know, when he heard about the Sahaba, say that they were so passionate about, you know, going for the, you know, and facing the Quraysh, he went back, you know, to his, you know, he went back home, and then he put his shield, you know, he put the clothes for the, you know, to go to war. Whatever the soldier would put, you know, his helmet, his shield, he took his sword, khalas, he's ready. And then the Sahaba, in the meantime, they realized that, oh, maybe we compelled the Prophet to make that decision. He was not, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, maybe he did not want to go for, you know, to fight. He did not want to participate in that war. Maybe we pushed, maybe we compelled him to make that decision. So when the Prophet Muhammad came back, ready to go for war, the Sahaba said, Ya Rasulullah, we think that we have compelled you. We think that we have made you make that decision, although maybe you did not want so. Ya Rasulullah, we should not fight. He said, we shouldn't. The Prophet Muhammad, he said something really interesting. He says, it is not befitted for the Prophet who wears his shield to remove it. You know? He said, it is not befitted for the Prophet who wears his shield to remove it. Meaning, he made a decision, and a decision has been made, you know, after consulting with the Sahaba. So once a decision is made, sisters and brothers, there is no way back, there is no return. And this is managerial, you know, maybe a lesson here. Those of you who are maybe managers, those of you who are leaders, you know, even in your home, you know, sometimes when you make a decision with your family, khalas, everybody is there, you make a decision, it's done, it's gone. You know, when they come back and says, oh, maybe we shouldn't do this, we shouldn't do that. And then you keep on making, you know, changes to this and this and that. No, once a decision is made, after consultation, taking opinions from those who are experts or those who have maybe don't know how. Because you don't take, you know, you don't consult with anyone. You don't consult with me if I don't know about, I know about a lot of things. But if I don't know about, let's say, I don't know about how to fly an airplane. And then you come to consult with me on how to fly an airplane. I have no know-how. I have no, you know, information about how to fly an airplane. So you're consulting with the wrong guy. So you need to pick that person, the right person to consult with. Right, so the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salam, he consulted with the Sahaba, those who had that knowledge, those who had the know-how, saying, what should we do, what should we do? They said, Ya Rasulullah, you know, they had some youth with them, and the youth, they said, those who did not participate in Badr, the majority were those who did not participate in Badr, they said, Ya Rasulullah, we should fight. And then when he came back, the Sahaba has told those youth, maybe we compelled the Prophet, maybe we pushed him, maybe he did not want to, you know, go and fight, and then we pressured him to make that decision. You know, let's go and tell him not that we should change our, you know, our plans. But then the Prophet made that decision based on consultation, right? And then he says, you know, it is not befitted for the Prophet to wear his shield to go back and pull it out and remove it. Meaning, khalas, that's it, it's done. Matter is being decreed, we're moving on. And you learn, like I said here, some, you know, the really beautiful lesson. There's so many lessons. One, you know, once a decision is made, although you may disagree with that decision, but if it's taken, that's it. We agreed on it. We move on together as one team. So the Sahaba, they were only 1,000. Amongst them, there were, you know, there were some Jews. Or there were not the Jews. They were the hypocrites. They were the hypocrites. And those hypocrites were led by Ibn Ubay ibn Salul. Ibn Ubay ibn Salul, you know, he had with him about 300 hypocrites. So those 300 hypocrites, they retreated. How did they retreat? They said, well, the Prophet Muhammad, initially he did not want to participate in the battle, so we should not go. You know, so he pulled his people and then they retreated. They left. Alhamdulillah, at least, you know, the battle had only the believers in it. 700 believers against 3,000. So those 3,000 brothers and sisters, the way they used to structure the battlefield at the time, so you have Maymana, Maysara, and Al-Qalb. Maymana, the right side of the army, and then the left side of the army, and then the heart. So the right side, so they used to split the army into three groups. The right, the left, and the heart. So the right group was led by Al-Maymana, by Khalid ibn al-Walid. Khalid ibn al-Walid, he was not a Muslim at the time. Khalid ibn al-Walid, he was not a Muslim. So he was leading the right side of the army. He had 300 soldiers with him. And then Al-Maysara, the left side of the army, was led by Ikrimah. Ikrimah ibn Abi Jahl. Abu Jahl, remember, Abu Jahl died, was killed in the Battle of Badr. Abu Jahl was killed in the Battle of Badr. So this is his son, Ikrima, who eventually will become a Muslim. Ikrima will eventually become a Muslim. Radiallahu anhu wa radah. But at that time he was not. So he was leading the left side of the army, 700 soldiers with him. And then the heart. The heart was led by Abu Sufyan himself, who also was not a Muslim. But he will become a Muslim. And he will do so many amazing things when he will become a Muslim. So the heart was led by Abu Sufyan. How many soldiers were left, sisters and brothers? You know the math. Do the math. 700 with Ikrima, 300 with Khalid bin Walid, and then the rest were with Abu Sufyan. What is the rest? Yalla, yalla, yalla. Bsura, bsura, bsura. Jaldi, jaldi, jaldi. Quick, quick, quick. Fast, fast, fast. How many soldiers were with Abu Sufyan? No, Yashmeen. 700 was with Ikrima, 300 was with Khalid, and then 2,000. Yes, Layla, exactly, because there were 3,000 altogether. 3,000 altogether. So 700 with Ikrima, 300 with Khalid, and then 2,000 with Abu Sufyan. The Muslims, how many were there? 2,000, yes, Mila, 2,000. So how many were the Muslims? Remember, they were 1,000 minus 300 hypocrites. 1,000 minus 300. You don't have to be me to know the answer. How many were there? 700, right? 700. So there were 700. 700 Muslims versus 3,000. In the battle, in the side of the army of the Muslims, the main leader was the man with the feather. Who is the man with the feather? The man with the feather is Hamza. Why the man with the feather? He had a feather in his coming out from his in his shield. He had this little feather. So they used to call him the man with the feather, who did so much in the Battle of Badr. So much so that Hind, the wife of Abu Sufyan, who eventually will become a Muslim as well, she made an oath because her brother, her father, and her uncle were killed in Badr. Remember this from last week? Just say yes. Just say yes. Her father, her brother, and her uncle, they were killed in the Battle of Badr. So she made an oath to kill the man with the feather. She made an oath to kill Hamza. She hired a man by the name of Wahshi, who was Habashi. Also will become a Muslim. Oh, I wish I was with you together in Medina. I wish we were together in Badr, in Uhud, so I can show you how the battle happened, where the Muslims were camping, and where Khalid bin Walid was, so I can bring the battle live. If I were there in Medina, in the field of Uhud, I would show you everything. I wish, maybe one day, inshallah, who knows? Maybe one day, inshallah, I can take you there. I will take you there, inshallah. So, what happened was, the Prophet Muhammad was giving orders, of course, but in the battlefield, who was leading? Hamza. Who was helping him? Ali and Az-Zubayr. Ali and Az-Zubayr. Who was holding the flag of the Muslims? Mus'ab. So listen up, because the flag means a lot. Brothers and sisters, this is how it works. If the flag goes down, that means you lost the battle. So they have to make sure that the flag keeps, stays high, stays up. Because if the flag goes down, you lose the battle. So who was carrying the flag of the Muslims? Mus'ab. Mus'ab ibn Umair. Mus'ab, the pampered kid before Islam. Mus'ab, na'am. Mus'ab whose smell, whose fragrance used to be smelled from so far away. People used to say, Mus'ab must have gone from here. Because his clothing used to come from Sham. Your place. His clothing used to come from Sham, from Syria. His perfume was also imported from some other place. So he was so pampered. But when he became a Muslim, he left everything for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was the one carrying the flag of the Muslims. The flag of Quraysh were held by a tribe, Banu Abdul Dar, a tribe. There were seven of them, or nine of them. 9 of them, all cousins. One, you know, all cousins, they made an oath to carry the flag. If the flag goes down, somebody else will come and carry the flag. So they need to make sure that the flag keeps, you know, stays high. Prophet Muhammad today, right now, is... Why did I say today? Because I want you to live this, just as if like we are in the Battle of Uhud, whatever you are. Right? Prophet Muhammad today is 56 years old. How old is Prophet? 56 years old today, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Prophet Muhammad took a sword, and then he says, who can give this sword its right? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. مَنْ يَأْخُذُ سَيْفِي بِحَقِّهِ. Who can give this sword its right? The Sahaba, they said, I, but they didn't answer the question. Who can give this sword its right? And then a man by the name of Abu Dujana, he asked the Prophet, Ya Rasulullah, what is the right of the sword? Then the Prophet says, the right of the sword is that you strike with it until you break it. You strike with the sword until you break the sword. He says, Ya Rasulullah, I will give the right to the sword. And then the Prophet handed him the sword, and he was going around, you know, like in, not boasting, but he was yani, proud that the Prophet Muhammad gave him that sword, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Brothers and sisters, the battle started. But before the battle started, the Prophet noticed something. What did he notice? He noticed from the right side, a little bit far away, there was this army led by Khalid. There were 300. So what did the Prophet do? The Prophet is smart, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He asked 40 people. No, 50. He asked 50 people, led by Abdullah ibn Jubayr, to stand on a mount called the Mount of the Archers. That mount still exists today. You can go to YouTube and you will find my lecture on the Mount of the archers. Or just go to YouTube, Sheikh Riyad in Medina, or Sheikh Riyad in the Mount of Uhud. And then you will find my lecture there, talking about this from the Mount of the Archers. So there was this mount, right? And then the Prophet, he asked 50 Sahabas to go and stand put on that mount, making sure that if Khalid bin Walid was to make a move, they will stop him this is what's called with the archers, with their weapons or with the spears or whatnot. So Khalid bin Walid, he made several attempts. So he had no option, because if he was to go around Uhud, it's like 22 kilometers to go around into the battle. So he had to take a shortcut. But for that shortcut to happen, the Prophet put those 40 or 50 archers on that mount right there, right? And as Khalid bin Walid, he tried, he was stopped, you know, by those archers throwing, you know, their arrows and their spears at them. Radiallahu anhu alda. He was not a Muslim, but still, radiallahu anhu alda. Brothers and sisters, the battle started. As soon as the battle started, right away, Zubair and Ali, they had to make an attack because they need to finish off the battle. So Zubair and Ali, they attacked who? Who did they attack? Let me ask you this. Who did they attack? We need to finish the battle. We need to finish it off. So who did they attack? Khalid? Not Khalid. Zubair and Ali, radiallahu anhuma. Who did they attack for the battle to be done? For the battle to be over? Come on, tell me. I know you know the answer. I know you know it. I know you know the answer. Who did they attack? Yalla, Nawal, she should know this, and Layla, she should know because they take notes. And Yashmin should know because they take notes. I don't know about you guys on Facebook. Abu Sufyan. Abu Sufyan still, man. Why would they attack Abu Sufyan? Abu Sufyan is in the back. Abu Sufyan is in the back with his army, you know, it is 2,000 people, so he's surrounded by all his soldiers. No, they're not going to attack Abu Sufyan. They need to attack someone to finish off the battle. So they attacked who? They attacked the carrier of the flag. Right? They attacked the carrier, the holder of the flag. Why? Because if we kill the carrier, the holder of the flag will go down, the soldiers will leave, and khalas, we're done. So that's what they did. Both of them, they attacked, you know. No, I mean the one. Yeah, what are you saying? No. Yeah, whatever. Yeah, they attacked the holder of the flag. So they killed, you know, the first person. The flag went down. His cousin came. He held it again. You know, all from Banu Abdul Dar, that tribe. Ali killed him. The third one came up, you know, and hit the flag. And then Zubair killed him 7, 8, 9 times. 9 times. The flag came down. The hearts of Quraysh trembled. So they retreated. They retreated. They started running away. And then Khalid, on one hand, was trying to make a move. He's been stopped, right? Held by Jubair, Abdullah ibn Jubair, and his army. So in a matter of few minutes, the battle was over. The battle was over. So brothers and sisters, as soon as the Quraysh started, you know, retreating, excuse me, those in the on the mount of the archers, they saw that Quraysh was retreating, so they needed to go and start collecting the booties, the spoils of war, because in the battlefield, you know, whatever you collect becomes yours. So they went, they wanted to go and, you know, and start picking up the spoils. Abdullah ibn Jubayr said, no, you should not move from your places, because the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, do not, you know, move from your places. Stay put. Whether you see us winning, whether you see us lose, don't move from your location. Stay put, right? But these people, they said, well, the battle is over. We're done. Abdullah ibn Jubayr kept saying, no, we're not done yet. Remember what the Prophet said. Brothers and sisters, only 40 people. See, there were 50. 40 people left, came down, started collecting booties. There were only 10 left. Khalid bin Walid had the eye of the hawk. He looked, he saw that there were only 10 people. 10 people against 300, how many can you kill? يعني, huh? You cannot kill 10. So Khalid bin Walid attacked. They tried to stop him, you know, and then he managed to kill. 70 Sahabis were killed on that battle, by the way. 70 Sahabis were killed. Because of 40 people who did not listen to the command of the Prophet. They came down, Khalid bin Walid attacked, killed those 10, and then he sent a sign to Abu Sufyan. Abu Sufyan, who was retreating, what did he say? He says, U'lu Hubal, U'lu Hubal. It's like we say, Allahu Akbar. Hubal is the god, is the idol. U'lu Hubal. He kept saying, U'lu Hubal. Abu Sufyan, he heard him from far. And then he looked and he says, oh, khalas, Khalid managed to move. So Khalid was coming from one end and Abu Sufyan was coming from the other end. Imagine, Khalid from one end, Abu Sufyan from the other end. The Sahaba got sandwiched between the two armies. Between Khalid, Abu Sufyan, and Khalid. So much so, brothers and sisters, that the Muslims, they were, you know, some of them were killing each other because they did not know who was who. They did not know who was who. How? You know, they were all wearing shield and their helmets and whatnot. You know, one Sahabi was saying, that's my father, alhamkumullah, Abi, alhamkumullah, Abi, my father. So imagine Khalid was coming from one end, and then Abu Sufyan, and then the Sahabas were sandwiched. A big chaos happened in the battle. There were small pockets here and there. Small pockets of fights here and there. The Prophet got exposed. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He got exposed. Somebody said, Muhammad has been killed. Muhammad has died. There was this woman, the Prophet said, wherever I went, she was with me. He said, wherever I went, she was with me. Her name is Amara, radiallahu anha wa ardaha, Nusayba bint Ka'b. Nusaybah bint Ka'b, imagine, even women participated in that battle. Not only men, women also participated in that battle. The Prophet says she had a soul, she had four young men. They were coming because she was protecting the Prophet Muhammad with her sword. Came this man by the name of Abu Qami'ah or Ibn Qabi'ah, who was digging some holes, you know, here and there, because he wants the Prophet to fall into these traps. So he came to her because he saw the Prophet, you know, was kind of like retreating, and then he was trying, and then she tried to defend the Prophet Muhammad with her sword. He hit her so much, so hard on her shoulder, her sword dropped. Her children, they came running. Ummi, ummi, mother, mother. She said, leave me and go protect Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Leave me and go protect Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Sa'd ibn Waqqas was there also with Prophet Muhammad with his, you know, arrows. And he kept on shooting. And every shot he made, he was killing an enemy of Allah Azza wa Jal. Ilmi, ilmi. وَمَا رَمَيْتَ إِذْ رَمَيْتَ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ رَمَى. In Surah Al-Anfal, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals, you did not shoot when you shot, وَلَكِنْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ رَمَى. It is Allah Azza wa Jal who made you shoot where you are, where you've shot. So Prophet Muhammad did get exposed. Few pockets here and there. Ibn Abi Qami'ah saw Prophet Muhammad Azza wa Salaam, and then he came up trying to kill Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. Talha ibn Ubaidillah, what did Talha do? Talha, when he saw Prophet Muhammad, fell into the trap. Prophet Muhammad did fall into the trap. So much so that his helmet, he had some in this helmet, there's like a piece of metal that went into the skull of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi wasallam, so much so that blood was gushing out, and his tooth got broken alayhi wasallam, a crack in his tooth, because he fell into the trap. Came Talha ibn Ubaidillah radiallahu anhu arda, and then he came, and then he stood by the Prophet Muhammad alayhi wasallam, you know, and they were hitting him so much that his arm became paralyzed, because they were hitting him instead of hitting the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma salli wa sallam ala nabiyyina Muhammad. Allahumma salli wa sallam ala nabiyyina Muhammad. Anas ibn al-Nadr, he saw some people sitting down, and he said, why are you sitting down? He said, we heard that Prophet Muhammad has died. He told them, then stand up and go and die for what he died for. Stand up and go and die for what he died for. And then he says, Wallahi ashummu ra'ihat al-Ka'ba, ra'ihat al-Jannah. He says, by Allah, I smell the fragrance of the Jannah. Duna Uhud, by Uhud. And he went fighting, radiallahu anhu arda. He went fighting until he got killed as well. Anas ibn al-Nadr, radiallahu anhu arda. Umar was there, defending Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abu Amr al-Fasiq, he came to the Prophet Muhammad because he got exposed. Prophet Muhammad fell into this trap. Ibn Abi Qami'ah came and he hit the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salam. And then, as I mentioned, the helmet, you know, the helmet went into the skull of the Prophet Muhammad. And then came this man by the name of Abu Ubaidah Nu'am al-Jarrah. I love this name. Abu Ubaidah ibn Amr al-Jarrah, who will be at some point in the future in Sham. The Prophet will send him to Sham. He will be Amir al-Sham, Abu Ubaidah. He was very soft man. He came and he pulled the metal from the skull of the Prophet using his teeth. He bit on that metal, and then he pulled it out from the skull of the Prophet, and then blood started gushing out. And then the Sahaba said, the Prophet raised his hand. He saw the Prophet Muhammad bleeding. Imagine, your Prophet was bleeding everywhere. And then he raised his hand, making dua. And then the Sahaba said, he was going to make dua against our people. And whose are the people? Quraysh that they're fighting. They're fighting their uncles, they're fighting their brothers, they're fighting their fathers, they're fighting the members of their families. So you have believers, non-believers. So who's from Quraysh? Quraysh are their families. So they, when the Prophet raised his hand, they said, oh, he's going to make dua against our own people. He's going to make dua against our own, you know, parents. But the Prophet Muhammad, the river of mercy, he said, Allahumma hdi qawmi fa innahum la ya'lamun. Oh Allah, guide my people, for they don't know. For they don't know. Guide them. They don't know. The same people who hurt him, the same people who expelled him from Mecca, the same people who abused him, persecuted him, tortured sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, oh Allah, guide them, for they don't know. Guide my people, they don't know. Amongst those who got exposed was Hamza radiallahu anhu arda. And then came this guy who was just haunting, you know, wanting to kill him, Wahshi. So Wahshi kept saying, I kept looking for an opportunity to come and kill Hamza, but I couldn't find any opportunity because he was always surrounded. He was always surrounded. And then he says, when the battle, you know, went wrong, and then people were sort of like all exposed and whatnot. And then he says, then I aimed at him. I aimed my arrow at him. Right? And then I looked and then I throw my arrow, my spear, not my arrow. I throw my spear at him. It went in through from his belly, went out from his back. Radiallahu anhu arda. This is the uncle of the Prophet. He says it went in through from his belly, went out from his back, radiallahu anhu arda. And then he says he didn't die. He didn't die at the time. He says, then he turned and he looked at me. He says, Ra'aytul maut. When he saw me, I saw death. I froze. And he kept on walking towards me. Hamza, with the spear through him, kept walking towards me. He said, I saw death. But at some point he could not walk no more. He went down on his knees. And then he died. I took my spear. My job was done. And I left. Because that was my freedom. My freedom is to kill Hamza. I killed him. And I left. Hamza got killed. Amr ibn al-Jamuh got killed. A man with a limp. He had a limp. He came to Rasul A'raj, and he didn't have to participate in the battle because he had a limp. He went to Rasulullah and says, Ya Rasulullah, Uhibbu an adkhul al-jannata bi'arjati. I'd love to enter Jannah with my limp. The Prophet Muhammad saw him in Jannah with feet from Jannah. Feet from pearls. Ya salam. Feet, na'am, his feet was from pearls. Abdallahullahu saqin min al-jannah, from pearls. So the Prophet saw him in Jannah. One of the people that got killed, Jabir. Ya Jabir, Abshir, the father of Jabir, not Jabir. His father got killed, Abu Jabir, radiallahu anhu arda. And then Jabir went to the Prophet, Ya Rasulullah, my father got killed. Where is he? Did he make it to Jannah? The Prophet, Ya Jabir, not only one Jannah, Jannat, and your father has reached Al-Firdaus Al-A'la. Allahu Akbar. Your father has reached the highest level in Jannah. Brothers and sisters, this deen didn't come easy, huh? This deen came with lots of sacrifice. People spilled blood. People lost their necks. People lost their lives and their souls to bring you and I Islam. Prophet did not want this war. Prophet wanted peace. Prophet wanted, he wanted salam. He just wanted to give da'wah. That's all he wanted. But these people, they did not let him do his job. He had no other choice than to go and fight them. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. A lot of people died. But again, the lesson was, remember, it could have been done in no time had it not been for those, subhanAllah, 40 people who did not listen to the order of the Prophet when he told them to stay put and not to move. Yet those 40 people, this victory was turned into a loss. A victory was turned into a loss. Why? Because some people did not listen to the command of the Prophet. If I were to ask you these questions, brothers and sisters, those of you on Instagram and those of you on Facebook, how many Muslims we are today all over the world? Maybe 1.5 billion Muslims. In these 1.5 billion Muslims, How many of us pray? Those of us who do not pray, regardless, how many of us ridicule the order of the Prophet and the command of the Prophet and the sunnah of the Prophet? A lot of people, they say, just a sunnah. It's just a sunnah. It's just a sunnah. وَمَا أَتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُوا وَمَا نَهَاكُمْ عَنُهُ فَانْتَهُوا. Didn't Allah say, whatever the Prophet has ordained you to do, do. And whatever he has commanded you to stay away from, do stay away from. How many of us know anything about the sunnah of the Prophet? Or anything about the Prophet, عليه الصلاة والسلام. So much sacrifice. Imagine. And only few people did not listen to his words. Allah turned a victory into a loss. How many of us today, can you guess, maybe a percentage? How many of us today ignore the sunnah of the Prophet? We don't listen to what he says, to his commands. A lot of Muslims. Is what happened to the people of Uhud will happen to us? Because we're ridiculing the commands of the Prophet Muhammad? Well, look around us and you can find the answer yourselves, brothers and sisters. But let me tell you something nice. Wahshi later on, he wanted to become a Muslim. Wahshi wanted to become a Muslim, so he went to the Prophet Muhammad. And Prophet Muhammad could not look at him because Prophet Muhammad remembers his uncle Hamza. Because when Hamza got killed, Wahshi went to Hind and he told her. So he took her after the battle was over. He took her into the field, into the battlefield. And then she saw Hamza. You know the story about him, you know, cutting off his belly open and then taking the liver. There is some authenticity, weakness in its authenticity. Whether she took that, you know, yes, the, you know, he did open up his belly and then took the liver, but did she really actually, you know, mashed or tried to eat his liver? No, there's a weakness in that authenticity of the hadith. But at any rate, yes, they tried to disfigure him. They opened up his belly. He opened up the belly to take the liver. So the Prophet Muhammad, when he looked at Wahshi, he would remember his uncle. He told him, I cannot look at your eyes. Don't look at me. He says, Ya Rasulullah, I want to become a Muslim. But I need to make sure, would Allah forgive me? Would Allah forgive me if I were to become a Muslim? Of course. Who will come between you and the tawbah, if you were to make tawbah, sincere tawbah to Allah Azza wa Jal, who can come between you and forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say in the Quran, قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَصْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَصْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. The most hopeful ayah in the Quran is this. قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَصْرَفُوا. In Surah Az-Zumar, say, O my servants who have despaired in the mercy of Allah, لَا تَقْنَطُ مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ. Do not despair from the mercy of Allah. Brothers and sisters, listen to this beauty. Are you listening? Facebook, Instagram, are you listening? Because there's a beautiful word right here. There is a key word in this ayah. There's a golden word in this ayah. Are you listening though? I know there's mashallah a lot of people now. Are you listening to me? All you have to do is say yes. All you have to do is just say yes. You're listening. Right? Because I want to tell you, those of you who may have despaired, those of you who may think that Allah cannot forgive you because you have committed so many sins, those of you who may have may thought that Allah will not forgive you because maybe you committed or you abused someone or you abused yourself or you abused your loved ones or maybe you were so stray, you did so many wrong things. Listen to this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, oh, to my servants who have despaired, قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ صَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ. Oh, my servants who have despaired against the mercy of Allah, who have lost hope against the mercy of Allah, do not despair. Don't despair of the mercy of Allah. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا. This is the key word. هذا الكي word. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ. Allah forgives all the sins. Allah forgive not one sin, all the sins. You may say, I have dishonored my parents. Allah forgives all the sins. You may say, I have committed zina. Allah forgives all the sins. You may say, I've drunk alcohol. Allah forgives all the sins. I have abused my spouse. Allah forgives all the sins. Surat Az-Zumar. Surat Az-Zumar. Chapter called Zumar. Right? Allah forgives all the sins. Whatever you have done. Listen, brothers and sisters, if Allah has forgiven the man who killed the cousin of the Prophet, wouldn't He forgive you? Who thinks amongst you that Allah would not forgive them? Allah forgave the man who killed 100 souls. Do you know the story? Banu Israel, a man who killed 99 lives. And then he went to someone who told him, I want to repent. Can Allah forgive me? I killed 99 people. He says, no, Allah can never forgive you. And then he killed him. And then he went to another righteous man. He went to a scholar. He went to Abid. You know, he says, can Allah forgive me? I killed 100 lives. Can Allah forgive me? He says, of course, Allah will forgive you. There's nothing that can come between you and the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, provided that you sincerely make tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inna Allah yaghfiru adh-dhunuba jami'a. Allah forgive all the sins, brothers and sisters. So today, what's today, sisters and brothers? What is today? What's the date today? What is the date today? Yalla, 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 Facebook, Instagram. What is the date today? I know you know the date, but just give me, tell me it's the date today. Let me see if you know, guys know what the day is today. Yalla, b'sura, b'sura. Today, the 4th of what? February 5th? February 4th? Depending where you are. Some of you are on maybe, I don't know, Australia. It's already the 6th maybe there. Friday in Belgium, Friday in here, in Indonesia is already Saturday, Australia is already Saturday. Let me tell you, it is not Friday. Look, Saturday, Coco Morach is in Australia. It's Saturday there. Listen, no, today is not Friday. Today is not Saturday. Today is 2021. Today is Repentance Day. Today is your new birth day. Today is your new birthday. Today is Repentance Day. Brothers and sisters, let us all, inshallah ta'ala, today, inshallah, let us all repent to Allah Azza wa Jal. Let us repent to Allah. I know you said Friday, you know, February 5th or Saturday, whatever it is. Brothers and sisters, no, today is Repentance Day. Let us all repent to Allah Azza wa Jal. Today is your new birthday. How about that? You like that? Today is your new birthday. Whatever you have done in the past, maybe you have missed salah, maybe you didn't pray, maybe you didn't pray. Whatever wrong you have done in the past, maybe you consumed haram, maybe you've done haram, maybe you're still dealing with haram. Whatever you have done today, I'd like you and I today to sincerely repent to Allah. Khalas, today is Tawbah Day. Tawbah Day. I'm not gonna sing you happy birthday to you. No, I'm gonna say happy Tawbah Day to you. Happy Tawbah Day to you. Isn't it today? Today is happy Tawbah Day. Today is Repentance Day, inshallah ta'ala. May Allah forgive you all. May Allah bless you all. May Allah Azza wa Jal grant you all Firdaus Al-A'la. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to see the Prophet Muhammad in Jannah, inshallah ta'ala. That's how the battle ended, brothers and sisters. Yes, the Sahaba, they did retreat in the Mount of Uhud. And was it the end? No, it was not the end. It was not the end. Because was the Prophet angry? Was the Prophet disappointed? Was he sad? What did Allah say in regard to this battle? This battle, Allah describes it also in Surah Al-Imran. Surah Al-Imran, you know, Allah Azza wa Jalla talks about the battle of Uhud. So, inshallah ta'ala, what happened? What did Allah say? What did the Prophet feel? What did the Prophet say? Do you people feel something happening here? Do you people feel something is about to happen here? I'm sure you do. I'm sure you do. What is going to happen here right now? Something's going to happen. What's going to happen right now? Yalla, tell me. I know you know. Yalla, yalla, surah. What's going to happen? I know you guys know. I'm just waiting for you to say it. What's going to happen right now? Right now. Come on. Cliffy. Of course. Cliffy hangy. Cliffy. Cliffhanger. We'll finish this tomorrow, inshallah ta'ala. Barakallahu feekum. Jazakum Allah khair. Happy Tawbah Day. Happy New Birthday. May Allah bless you. May Allah reward you. Make sure today, brothers and sisters, before you go to sleep, think between you and yourself. Anything wrong that you're doing, make a sincere intention. Ya Rabbi, I'm going to stay away from this from now on. Whatever you're doing that is wrong, whatever you're doing that is wrong. Ya Rabbi, make that sincere. Maybe you will die tonight, may Allah forbid. May Allah forbid. Maybe I'll die tonight when I go to sleep. At least I die with this beautiful intention saying, oh Allah, I sincerely repent to you. I will promise to never go back and commit that sin again. All you have to do is make that intention, inshallah. Sincere intention, repenting to Allah Azza wa Jal, and rest assured that Allah will become happy when you repent. Yes, yes. Allah does not need your repentance. I need my repentance. You think this is going to add anything into the domain of Allah? Allah is al-ghani. Allah is al-ghani. He's free of want, free of need. He does not need me, but He becomes happy when I repent. Imagine, Allah becomes happy when I repent. Brothers and sisters, type in yes. Who wants to make Allah happy tonight? I'm done. Who wants to make Allah happy today? I. Who wants to make Allah happy today? He? Who he? May he accept our repentance, yes. Who wants to make Allah happy today? Come on, guys. Yes, Samantha, you want to make Allah happy? Yes, today? Layla, yes. Facebook, I cannot read you, I don't know, but I'm sure you're saying yes as well. Yashmin, yes. Yes, guys, yes. Who else? Because it's written. The angels are writing down what you guys are saying, by the way. So just say yes. You're going to want to make Allah happy today. You're going to repent, inshallah ta'ala, making sure if you fall into that mistake again, repent again. Because we're weak. Maybe may Allah forbid, if I fall into it again, go back and repent to Allah Azza wa Jalla again. But make that sincere intention. Ya Rabbi, help me. I don't want to do this again. That thing, that bad thing, whatever it is that you're doing. Ya Rabbi, help me. I don't want to go back and do this again. And ask Allah sincerely. Wallahi, Allah will help you, inshallah ta'ala. And accept your repentance because He is At-Tawwab. He is Al-Afu. He is Al-Ghafur. And He is Al-Ghaffar. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. You're happy today. MashaAllah. I'm happy too that you're happy. I'm happier than you, by the way. I'm not going to tell you why I'm happy, but I'm happy too, alhamdulillah. May Allah bless you guys. May Allah reward you guys. Thank you so much for joining. Those of you on Facebook, those of you on Instagram, thank you so much for joining. May Allah bless you. Jazakum Allah khair. I shall see you tomorrow. Same time, 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time, 11 o'clock p.m. UK Time, 12 a.m. Belgium Time, because I know a lot of people from Belgium, and Australia Time will be 8 in the morning, I believe, inshallah ta'ala. Yes, 8, 6, 6, 8, or 7 in the morning, inshallah ta'ala. Jazakum Allah khair, barakallahu feekum. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum. Well, just say assalamu alaikum, guys. Come on. Whatever you are, assalamu alaikum. Thank you so much for joining again. Thank you. Appreciate it. Assalamu alaikum.